Welcome to Roll My Sports, the NBA playoff edition. With my guy, Jamel Melo Arrington. Smooth as the other side of the pillow. Then I got the godfather himself, Eric Jamal Whitehead. We're going to debate a few topics dealing with the NBA playoffs right now. The first topic is the Western Conference playoffs. I'll start with you, Eric Jamal Whitehead. What do you feel about the West Conference Finals playoffs? It's tied 1-1 right now. So, you know, you had one good game. You know, KD was dominant. What they call the Slim Reaper. Now you got James Harden, Chris Paul, and a big game from Eric Gordon off the bench. So what's your take on it? What's your mind on it?
Well, first and foremost, it's good to have some good throwback playoff basketball, right? In today's NBA, it's refreshing to see a good throwback series like this one. Like, I think it's going to really be a good one. It's going to be a doozy. It's going to go 6 or 7 games automatically. Two teams are evenly matched. Two great head coaches. It doesn't get any much better to me as far as playoff basketball goes. Like I said, they answered, they responded, right? Well, I mean, vehemently.
Right, they responded pretty well.
And that was the number one thing I wanted to see, you know, how if they was going to beat them, how were they going to do it? They did it in dominating fashion. So with that being said, strap up, get ready for a hell of a series, man, period.
Jamil, what's your mind on it?
Houston did, like I said, I've been putting all my money on Houston. Anybody want Houston? I mean, Golden State, I got some more money to throw out there.
Roll my sports people.
game one, like I said, KD, he snapped out or whatever. Game two, D'Antoni made minor adjustments, but it wasn't much different than what he did game one. And like I said, they ended up whooping him or whatever. I want the Rockets to win. I think it's going to go 7, though. It's a good series. Probably better than – I'm a Cleveland fan, but it's going to be better than my series, I feel, because we're going to win 4-2. But
Cleveland winning 4-2. Yeah. We'll get back on that topic in a minute, people.
We'll talk about that. yeah, the Warriors-Rockets, man, it's good, man. Like I said, I've been more excited about that series than any other series in the playoffs. I mean, this is a good playoff year right here. There's a whole lot of good teams against each other.
So my thing is, like, you know, Mike D'Antoni and Steve Kerr worked well together in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Even though they couldn't pull off the amazing because they couldn't win the championship due to the great Kobe Bryant in the Western Conference at that time. I know. Here we go. But Mike D'Antoni, because Steve Kerr was the GM. I want to correct me if I'm wrong. He was the GM at the time in Phoenix. Mike D'Antoni was the coach. Mm-hmm. So they know each other's styles of play. Do you think that kind of fits the style, you two guys, that they play? Mm-hmm. Do you think that kind of fits how they play against each other or how they go against each other and how they scout, you know, as coaches? And now that Steve Kerr is from GM, from a business perspective, to now, hey, I'm a coach. Do you think that affects it?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Well, strong Steve Kerr. He's a direct, you know, disciple of both Greg Popovich and Phil Jackson. He's clearly, you know, used their styles and methods of coaching, handling players, player personalities. You know, arguably two of the best coaches outside of Ray Auerbach in our lifetime.
Right.
So with that being said, you know, being as great as he is, he's able to, you know, direct his team based off who he's playing, the climate of the series, each game individually. I mean, he's nothing short of a genius. You know, he has a lot of arsenal in his bag. He has a lot of tricks in his bag. So, you know, it's just going to be interesting.
That's my perspective. Do you think that he's a genius, or he's a genius because he's blessed because he has so much all-star talent?
Well, that's the thing, managing talent, managing personalities. You know, he learned that from Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson has some heavy personalities in his locker room. It takes a special individual to coach a Kobe Bryant, to coach a Michael Jordan,
right.
Horace Grant, a Scottie Pippen, so on and so forth, Shaquille O'Neal, Rick Fox, all these guys who felt like they was, who all been to the top of the mountain. You got a guy like Phil Jackson who's able to handle those personalities. Look at the early Lakers teams. You had nothing but ego all over the place. And yet, they still managed to win a few rings there, you know.
Feel like Steve Kerr is a genius? Or do you feel like Steve Kerr is the...
No, I don't.
You saying he's a genius, you know?
I know.
He's some short of a genius, though.
Right.
Like he's as good as he gets.
I feel like you could give the worst coach in the NBA that same team, and they'll go to the finals because you know what you got to do. You got Durant. He's the... arguably second best player in the league, 7 foot walking mismatch. Ain't nobody gonna stop him being really.
Right.
So I mean, you really don't have to, because you got Steph Curry, that's the greatest shooter, some say, of all time. Right. Or whatever. I mean, what do you have to do? Steve Kerr, half the time I see him sitting around there with his arm around Mike Brown. What do you have to coach?
Mike Brown is coach Cleveland, too. If people don't know, by the way.
You've got stars. So, I mean, it ain't, like I said, I respect Mark Jackson, man. That's a lot of why I hate the Warriors, because I feel like I did Mark Jackson wrong. He had to coach with what he had.
I agree with that totally.
And, you know, Steve Kerr, he inherited a monster team.
He did.
And he's getting all the credit right now. And he didn't do that. That was Mark Jackson's start. He started Steph Curry or whatever on that path that he's been on for the last 5-6 years. So
that is true. That is Steve true. Kerr. I got to agree with you. However, my brother, you got to understand the dexterity of the situation when it comes to these kind of players who are entitled, who feel like they are worthy, feel like they have their entitlement to their playing time, their numbers. Mm-hmm. He makes it all work. Now, I'm not going to downplay what Mark Jackson did. It's a lot like what happened with Carolina when Matt Doherty left in Carolina in 05, 06, and Roy Williams just kind of slid in and started winning chips. Mm-hmm. That was Matt Doherty's team.
Yeah, that's right.
That was Matt Doherty's team. He handpicked those players.
That's true.
But he couldn't win with those players. Because he didn't know the tactics or the ways to connect with those players to get the most out of them. Now, all I'm saying is when you go 20-plus years playing for people like Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich, you pick up some amazing things. You pick up all kinds of knowledge, a wealth of knowledge that most coaches don't pick up. Now, I'm not saying Mark Jackson wouldn't have won a ring by now. Mm-hmm. He would have won several rings with that team. Mm-hmm. You understand? He implemented the defensive philosophy in that team. Mm-hmm. He did that, not Steve Kerr. Mm-hmm. He made them buy out on defense, not Steve Kerr. Mm-hmm. So I'm with you 100%. Mm-hmm. But I can't downplay, you know, Steve Kerr's intelligence in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been there. He's hit the clutch shots, right?
Right.
He's been there. So he's as seasoned and as decorated as it comes with a coach.
I feel like you put Steve Kerr on the Denver Nuggets, and that's when I want to see him coach.
Touche. Touche. Touche.
So you basically want to say, see how well a coach. So your perspective is, can a coach a bunch of mediocre players and find a way to get the job done? Mm-hmm. Compared to all-star players who already. All-star
players. How hard is it to tell me, like, a lot of the times, Golden State win off talent alone. Regular season, they're going to win off talent alone. You know, you're in a conference with Sacramento, the Lakers, Phoenix Suns, or whatever. So you're going to beat, you know, you're going to win the division every year. That's automatic. Or whatever. I mean, like I said, you ain't really having the coach. Like I said, a lot of times, Steve Kerr, he don't stand up. I don't see him yelling or whatever. I mean, what do you have to? You don't have to do nothing.
I seen a segment where he did one game that he let the coaches. Let them skew the players.
Yeah.
Draw up the plays and coach the guys.
That's a direct notion and not Phil Jackson. Because Phil Jackson did that throughout his entire career. Mm-hmm. You know, especially towards the end with the Lakers. He would sit there and let the players orchestrate what needed to be done. When the system's in place, when the philosophy's in place, you know, it runs itself. It's like a successful business. Right. You can plug anybody into it. Once it's running itself, it don't matter who's flipping the burgers or ringing up the people for the orders, because the business runs itself. He's implemented the system that runs itself. That's a direct moniker of what Greg Popovich does and Phil Jackson. Who does it better than us? Who does it better than them?
I feel like any coach is like, when it comes to that perspective as coaching, even though it's not on the big stage of the NBA, like, the best coaching comes from, like, you know, allowing your guys to see the mistakes and falls and explaining it to them detail by detail. Even though Kobe got that show called Detail, like, you can explain the detail, that's how your players buy into your system. So if they buy into your system, they buy into your system because of the fact that you told them something that actually really happened. So it's not just off of your mind or your mentality, it's off of, like, how things got done. Then when they understand that, okay, that really did happen, it kind of helps experience. On another note, do you feel like with the D'Antoni, he won multiple coach of years? Not multiple coach of years, but he has won coach of the year. Mm. I want to say if I'm wrong. You know, he's always been in the big games. He always won the regular season guy. Mm-hmm. But me personally, I feel like D'Antoni is just a regular season coach. Do you feel like D'Antoni has the power to be able to hoist the Tom O'Brien trophy?
I feel like
whichever one would go first.
I feel like this year, I feel like this is the one that he probably had the best chance of getting with the way the NBA going as far as teaming up and players, you know, going different places or whatever. That Rockets team that you see now, somebody else gonna team up with somebody next year and it's gonna be crazy, man. You don't know. I mean, you just don't know.
Exactly right.
So like I said, this you gotta go with strike while the iron hot. Better they say. Like I said, this is his best year.
Yes,
this
sir.
Is his best year.
Yes, his best year.
If you don't get it this year, then he gonna have it up. I mean, he always been a good coach. Like I said, he had Phoenix running the style. They was good or whatever. Hey, they not so good with the
last
Knicks.
Time we went to the playoffs, he was our head coach. You know, Lakers hasn't been to the playoffs.
Oh yeah.
Since he was our head coach,
so he finds a way to get you to the playoffs. It's
the Lakers didn't really.
Like, we had a horrible roster.
Style.
And he still took us to the playoffs.
Yeah. I just don't think the Lakers like the style of D'Antoni. But like I said, if he gets the players in his system that fits, he's going to take you to the playoffs. But
my thing is, what's the difference in my mind for the Lakers? I guess I know you're a Lakers fan. And, you know, I know you probably – you do watch a lot of basketball. Mm-hmm. So my thing is like, okay, what's the difference between D'Antoni's style of play and I'm just asking opinions. I'm asking you guys what it is because it's Raw Mind Sports. What's the difference between D'Antoni's style of play and Showtime Lakers in the 80s? Because the Showtime Lakers in the 80s ran a gun. They ran. So what's the difference?
Just a different league. The league is
it's a lot of different.
Like this year, like this year was the most three-pointers attempted in NBA history by like 2,000-3,000 threes or something like that.
Right, right.
The game's changed. You know, and back in the day, they weren't shooting threes like that.
Right, I agree.
And you got to look at the team that was composed. A highly athletic, highly skilled team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Magic Johnson, Byron Scott, these were pure athletes. One of the most athletic teams. They was way ahead of schedule when it comes to athleticism. They play with a bunch of trees and branches, so of course they're going to go to the finals every year. That has a lot to do with it.
And when you mention those guys, neither guy you mentioned is a three-point marksman.
No.
No.
All right, Eastern Conference Finals. That's what we're going to talk about. The King LeBron James and the Boston Celtics with two all-star players who have not played pretty much most of the year. Kyrie played a little bit, but Gordon Hayward. I apologize. I said it wrong. He pretty much was out first game of the season. So right now they're down 2-0. They was down 2-0 at TD Garden. Do you think that the Boston Celtics have the full leaf clover on their head? Or do you think LeBron James is just waiting for the moment to shine? I go with air again first. Cause I know that's gonna go.
Well, there's a couple of alarming stats that I picked up over the first two games. First of all, you got six players in double figure scoring on Boston Celtics. And on Cleveland, three. That's not going to get it done in the NBA conference finals. In any conference, in any side. It's not. You got three players that are in double figure scoring in opposed to six in another team. That tells you everything you really need to know, right? Also, out of that, one player is averaging 2 points a game over two games. That's J.R. Smith. That's alarming.
Over 2 points a game?
No, he's averaging two points a game.
2 points a game? J.R. Smith is averaging 2 points
over
a game.
Two games, he's averaging 2 points a game.
Whew.
Didn't score.
Right? Mm-mm. That's the player that LeBron said, y'all better not get rid of. Don't get rid of him. He said that. That means he handpicked these people. But I'm not even going to get into all that right now. The fact that something is not clicking is all I'm trying to say. To me, roster-wise, one roster is a little bit more talented than the other roster, and it's not the team that's winning, right? Boston don't have a more talented team right now than they do. They don't. Look at the roster. Look at the roster. These guys are answering. You got players who are first-year players and second- and third-year players who never, ever seen significant playing time until now, right? Until Gordon Hayward went out and Kyrie went out.
Right.
These are facts. In opposed to proven veterans that LeBron handpicked himself. the Jeff Greens and the Rodney Hoods of the world. Man. Right? Let's be honest. Man. Okay? Let's be honest. These young guys in Boston are playing their heart out. They're playing their heart out. And you got to commend them. But it's not over. It's not over by a long stretch. Let's see what Cleveland can come up with. They're all home. Also, Boston is atrocious on the road. So, with that being said, let's just sit back and see what happens over game three and game four. I want to see how Cleveland responds. I want to see Cleveland beat these guys by 20 points tomorrow night. That's what's gonna put me back in a straight state of mind when it comes to Cleveland. So, you know, let's see. The difference between LeBron and the people they always try to compare him to is that LeBron is still writing his story, you know? So let's see. Let's see what he cooks up. That's all I'm saying.
Melo, how you feel about that? And LeBron,
I'm gonna test his talent. The Celtics roster right now is way more talented.
Because they're playing better, that's why. They're playing better.
If you go comparison person by person,
there are more proven players on Cleveland's roster than Boston. That's a fact. My man, we can pull the roster out right now and compare person from person.
I'm gonna say Jason Tatum.
He's a rookie.
He had an NBA game at Duke.
That's not anyone's problem.
And then Terry Rozier, he has been good.
He never really got significant time to Kyrie Irving.
He just ain't got no time.
Correct.
But when Kyrie got hurt, George Hill played in one of the best coaches. Probably the best coach. I don't give Phil a whole lot of credit because Phil had a whole lot of stars. Popovich is going with George Hill's. Who else? Danny Green's. He taking some of the bottom of the barrel to the finals or playoffs every year or whatever. So like I said, but anyway. With Cleveland, we ain't really got a whole lot of talent. Rodney Hood, I never really thought he was good in Utah. He just played on Utah. It was terrible. Jordan Clarkson played with the Lakers. I mean, they were terrible. You can do whatever you want to. Larry Nance, he's terrible. Now you're getting to see that because you're playing with a playoff team. LeBron expects nothing but the best or whatever. And now these guys, they're giving you their best and they're terrible. Clarkson is terrible. Or whatever. LeBron is handpicking these guys. I think Dan Gilbert just got some guys because he's preparing for LeBron's departure. That's what it is. But I still feel like LeBron is going to run through the table for you to win the next four games. You heard it here first. Next four games.
On my sports people.
4-2. And like I said, we're most of the finals, and we're going to let the chips fall where they may. LeBron ain't going down easy by a long shot.
So you feel like Cleveland, no matter what, LeBron is the king, the chosen one, as some people say. He's going to find a way to make a win.
I feel like always. I feel like I said, game two, I knew he was going to come out and be aggressive. I knew he was going to score or whatever. Just didn't have the help or whatever that he needed. Right. You get game three and game four, you get at home or whatever. Like I've been telling a lot of people around me, at home, you feel a little bit more comfortable. I said, now you might get J.R. Smith 12, 15 points or whatever. Kyle Korver had a pretty good shooting game in game two, but now you get that, 13, 14 points that he gets.
He said he scored 8 points. Eight points
in
the last game?
Three games. You said something about Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens is too talented of a coach for you to win four games of him in a row in the playoffs. I'm sorry. He's the next thing.
I think his team is just talented that they fed into his system. They play defense. Nice. And they hungry. They're a bunch of nobodies. And they feel like they got something to prove.
Thank you.
It's not Brad Stevens doing. I mean, Brad Stevens is a good coach, but it's not his doing. Terry Rozier, he know that when Kyrie come back next year, I'm back on the pine.
Jalen Brown,
y'all wouldn't even have this opportunity if Gordon Hayward was here.
That's my point. That's my point.
And Gordon Hayward come back next year. What are y'all going to do now?
So you think they should trade Gordon Hayward or just keep what they got?
A lot of people really think they should trade Gordon Hayward.
Let's talk about it.
Because I feel like I can get more out of Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown than I could out of Gordon Hayward. And not knowing how he's going to come back from
the injury. Interesting. What you think?
That ain't too bad of an idea. Who I wouldn't trade is Kyrie, of course.
Oh,
you really got people out here who think that that team is better without Kyrie, bro.
Rozier.
Really? Like, are you serious?
Really?
Rozier is a great backup to Kyrie.
Thank you.
Right.
I said it the other day, right? Some players, right, you know, they play their role perfectly. But once you ante up their role, they don't always respond so great. So sometimes you need to keep certain people where they are. But that's neither here nor there. My issue is, you know, I see Tyronn Lue getting outcoached, bro. Period. Bottom line. I tell people all the time. You can't say that about a guy who's won a ring. You can't say that about a coach who's won a world championship. I'm sorry.
Talent.
Bottom line.
That's the talent.
You know what? You know, whoever was coaching that talented Phoenix Suns team in the early 90s, he didn't win. He couldn't win because he went up against Jordan. Sometimes your team put together at the wrong time.
Some people say that Jordan can't. Everybody else talk about the GOAT as an episode. We're going to leave it short. Some people say that Jordan played in against Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, and it was the Father Time called.
That's pretty true.
So that's why he won the city championship.
But at the end of the day,
they say he guarded Brian Russell. Brian Russell guarded him. I can't even name the last guy to
NBA all defensive player.
What did Byron Russell do? He play with anybody else out of Utah?
Not at all.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You know, but at the end of the day, you know, like I was saying, when it comes to the NBA, the regular season is 60-40, 60 being players, 40 coaches. Playoffs is 60-40, 60 coaches, 40 players. It's all about the position that the players are being put in the playoffs. I'm telling you right now, if Phil Jackson don't put these guys out to position, there's no game winner for Jordan Head against Bob Russell or whoever it was. Coaching is paramount in the playoffs because it's based off moment-to-moment adjustments, not just game-to-game or week-to-week. And you see it. That's why I can't downplay what a person like Brad Stevens is doing after losing a superstar week one, losing Kyrie on the brink of the playoffs. Yet they are ultra-successful yet and still. It has to be. It tells you all about the system that's in place. It tells you all about the trust that the players have for the coach. Right? Phil Jackson don't win 11 championships over the course of his career because he had the best players. Because truth be told, bro, a lot of the teams he had was not better than the teams he coached against. Those are facts, bro. And you can disagree to the sun.
So you feel like Golden State and Jordan, you got
even coming out of the East, right? You can't tell me that the Chicago Bulls in the early 90s was better than them Knicks teams that they had put together. You had to put Cartwright up against Ewing, and you had to put, you know, I don't know, Scott Williams up against Charles Oakley, right? You have to put B.J. Armstrong up against John Starks, man. Okay, let's be honest, right? Can we be honest?
Because Jordan won't, from 84 to 91, Jordan won't win nothing. He won't win nothing.
You know what? He had to get over the hump. Once he did, the teams he played against, he had to play against to get there. Now those teams were better than his team, man. And those are facts, bro. Tell
me.
Magic.
Team. Next year with HIV.
The
Trailblazers cried. I mean, like I said, Clyde Drexler, Robinson, they won't do it. Like that, Buck Williams got drafted in 1982. So at that point, you know, he peaked. Cliff Robinson, Cliff Robinson doing?
The Bulls was good.
That was decent, but were they better than B.J. Armstrong and Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen? These are top 50 players. You don't need to name one.
Bill Winnington?
No, Scottie Pippen. I mean, Bill Winnington.
Bill Winnington, yeah.
My man always had trash.
Bill Cartwright?
He always had trash centers.
Scott Williams?
Who was, Duckworth was the point of trash centers? My God. Duckworth and Winnington is probably even. That's an even trade.
Duckworth was an all-star. All
right, to another topic.
85.
God, this is going to be too heated right here. All right. They end up announcing the MVP race. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and James Harden. Who do y'all feel between y'all two? Who's going to win the MVP? The MVP of the NBA this year.
Harden.
That's all you got to say. No saying, huh?
It's basically.
What's happening right now.
It's off a regular season.
No, technically it's not, because one guy is down 2-0, and one guy just tied it up by blowing the so-called best team in the league out.
Man, it's off a regular season vote. That's what the people finalize the votes off regular season.
But the sports writers finish it off.
I feel like his hardest regardless, even though I mean LeBron did something spectacular, 82 games, and like I said, with the squad he playing with, and his numbers are statistically better than Harden's in every category, except for scoring. And then, like I said, he did a whole lot more with less. But like I said, I still give it to Harden because I just give it to Harden because they jerked him last year.
Plus, like this, you know, LeBron also played a great season. He averaged about almost 30. Feel me? It was basically just all year long for him. So he got to the playoffs and he turned it up again. Mm-hmm. From playoffs to now, no player has played better than LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. 34.3 points a game, 9.7 rebounds, 8.7 assists. I'm sorry, 9.7 assists. He's basically averaging triple double. Mm-hmm. Let's be very, very, very honest. He took it to that next level when the playoffs hit. Mm-hmm. But Harden's been on that level from go. That's the truth.
He only played 60 games.
30 points a game.
James Harden reminds me
that's true now. He only played 60 games. And LeBron, has played, guess what, all 82 games.
Right.
So, I give you that, absolutely. He got hurt, he couldn't help that. But so, go. That boy been on go mode.
I just James, feel like Harden deserved it because Westbrook, they gave it to him last year off a triple-double. That's the only reason they gave it to him.
Yeah.
Harden had a better year last year, I think. With, you know, the team was better than OKC. Well, I don't think the team was. I think their team was even as far as talent wise.
Yeah.
And Harden should have won MVP last year because his numbers was, he was leading the league in assists and points or whatever. And like I said, you gave it to Westbrook just because he averaged a triple double during the year. He did the same thing this year. He wasn't mentioned in MVP. What happened this year?
Yeah. Same thing.
Good point. On another note, let's go to NBA Rookie of the Year. NBA Rookie of the Year, they got Jason Tatum, Ben Simmons, and DM Donovan Mitchell from Utah. What's your two minds on NBA Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, no slight on Tatum because we all knew he was gonna be great. Mm-hmm. I mean, where he played
the NBA game,
like you just said, he had an NBA game coming out the one time. No slight on him. But he was a piece of the puzzle with his team. Mm-hmm. The other two guys were catalytic entities on their team. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Critical pieces, parts
right.
That was country, you know, that contributed to their team's mm-hmm. success. No playoffs without these two rookies. No playoffs for your team, in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell playing the way he played, averaging 20.4 points a game over the course of 82 games as a rookie. Mm-hmm. That's just off the charts. Your team don't make the playoffs without those numbers. Yeah, then you got Ben Simmons.
Star player.
You feel me? Cool. Again, yeah. Bingo. Mm-hmm. And the boy he has a heart of a bear out there. You see it. He stood up toe-to-toe with the big boys and didn't flinch at the end of the day. They didn't win, but the boy didn't flinch. You see what I'm saying? You know, Ben Simmons, 15.4 points a game, 8 assists, changing the game, what you expect out of a player in his position. How big, fast, strong, skilled he is. So, you know, it's really a toss-up between them. Me, I'm going to go with your boy, Donovan Mitchell. He just showed me that grit. He got that thing in him. You know what I'm saying? Ben Simmons do too. But, you know, people like Embiid and other players was more critical to their team's success as he was. Now, he was as well. He just fell right in place. And, you know, like I said, without him winning that point, it's hard to say they're going to make playoffs. So I consider them to Mitchell a little bit more.
Who's your guy?
I go Cole, man. I go Cole Rookie of the Year.
I like that.
Cole Rookie of the Year. Like, just getting right here. Cause, yeah. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, he led Utah. Like I said, Gordon Hayward, he went to Boston or whatever, and they took Utah to what, the fourth seed in the West?
That's big time.
Ben Simmons, on the other hand, they had a 10-72 team last year, and they was third in the East. I mean, like I said, we can say pieces is critical. You know, Ben Simmons is major. Like, he's major to everything they do. I feel like when he had a bad game, that's why they lost in Boston. One point, you know, and a lot of people was saying that he ain't Rookie of the Year because he had one point game. Like, look at his body of work for the year. He's almost triple-double. Like, he's leading in triple-doubles or whatever for rookies.
Yeah.
I mean, so I feel like it's cool. I mean, you can't discredit what he's doing. People saying it's the process. They've been sitting out for
the process
for every year. I mean,
nah,
either way. It's still a big time to go from 10 to 72. I don't care. Like I said, they rookies. You know, this is Ben Simmons' first year on the court. People saying Donovan Mitchell just see he came out of school or whatever. It don't make a difference. This is his first year in the NBA. He's older than Ben Simmons, too. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And he's older than
Simmons. On another note, since y'all said, you saying Ben Simmons and DM as co-players, you saying DM is the versus DM?
Hey, I slightly edge them out by about 5-6 votes, in my opinion. But if not, yeah, I could definitely see them being rookies of the year. You know, both are very, very deserving of the honor, absolutely, without a doubt.
All right, we're going to go back to your Brad Stevens topic, since you brought up Brad Stevens for the Boston Celtics. Speaking of that, do you feel like Brad Stevens is going to be coach of the year? Who's your take? They got Dwayne Casey, Brad Stevens, and Quinn Snyder from Utah.
Quinn Snyder, I like that. I like all three of them.
Who's your picks on this?
I really like that Quinn Snyder pick. I really like that.
I like that.
But I think Dwayne Casey will get it just because Toronto, they built that team. Like I said, they got a better bench. That's what they said killed them last year in the playoffs. They didn't have a bench. They went out and got a couple of extra players, and the bench actually was good or whatever. Just can't be LeBron.
Can't
be LeBron.
So, LeBron, you trying to tell me LeBron is the reason why Dwayne Casey got fired?
LeBron is the reason why.
It's hard to put a coach. It's hard to make a coach of the year. He just got fired.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. And he can very well be coach of the year.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, he can't get past this mountain of a man, which is named LeBron James.
The mountain of a man? Raw Mind Sports, he said, Mountain of a Man. What's his name?
That's LeBron James. Mm-hmm.
And you're a Kobe fan.
Oh, I'm a sports fan. I'm a sports fan.
Right, that's true.
And I keep it real. He's a mountain of a man. He's 265 pounds. He's 6'8", 6'9". And when he come at you with a head full of steel, I don't think you want no smoke. So let's be honest.
No smoke.
Right? He's built in a way, Magic Johnson is prime with an extra 100 pounds. Think about that. Feel me?
You think he's better than Magic Johnson in his best years to now?
Magic Johnson is the greatest point guard ever played a game.
No. I mean, that's point guard. That's not overall skill. Overall skill.
He's the greatest point guard in the game. I'm not going to compare them to at the end of the day, even though he plays his game. But yeah, he's the next level. Because LeBron, I mean, Magic didn't have nowhere near the athleticism that LeBron James has. So that, to me, that's not even fair to say who's better, because that man can do more on the court. So,
transition of the game.
You know, it's just the transition of the game in the era. Mm-hmm. Guys are built different. It's not really fair for me to compare Russell Westbrook and Bob Cousy because they both point guards.
I agree.
Because Bob Cousy couldn't get 6 inches off the ground. You see what I'm saying? But yet he revolutionized the way you play the game in his era.
So yeah, both of your coaches of the year is Dwayne Casey?
Nah.
My coach is you.
My coach is Brad Stevens.
I'm probably a good coach.
That's Brad Stevens, your coach. Without a doubt.
You lose your prized possession in free agency. You lose him halfway through the first game. If it was halfway through.
You still had Kyrie all year, though.
Right.
And you got Kyrie, and then you lose him on the brink of playoffs.
But like I said, you know,
remain ultra successful, that tells a lot about what you're capable of.
All right, speaking of next subject, since you were talking about
Rookie of the Year, hands down. Coach of the Year, hands down.
I agree. The topic of LeBron James, since we were talking about it, and you said he's just this athlete of God or whatever. Do you feel like that LeBron is going to leave Cleveland? And if so, what team do he fit with? You know, you guys talking about Ben Simmons. You feel like he fit with Philly? Maybe had trade a few pieces? Do you feel like he could fit? Matter of fact, let's just let y'all talk about it.
We talked about it a little bit earlier.
Yeah, correct.
I feel like 70% of all teams in the NBA, if you plug LeBron on that team, they're good for at least the conference finals. I don't care if it's the West or the East. It don't matter. Because he's that good, he can affect the game that much. Think about it. Like we were saying, you put them on Pope or something. Mm-hmm. Or McCollum and what's called. They go straight to the West Coast. I don't care what you say. You talk to you say turn blue. You feel what I'm saying? Put them on Utah. Put them on Houston. Put them on somebody like Houston. They're going straight to the fuck. They're going to win.
They're winning for years.
You know what I'm saying?
Years.
So there's not even a question of where does he fit. More or less, where did he want to play?
All right. So you feel like where he's going to go?
He's leaving.
What's your opinion? What's your topic on it?
Huh?
Your thought on it?
Where he's going to go?
Yeah.
I'm at. Oh, it's LeBron James. He might do a whole nother press conference like he did last time. the Bulls and 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 But no, I'm not gonna kill myself trying to figure out
what he's doing. This shit. He said, my boy said, that's the worst thing he could have done when he went to Miami.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I don't know where he's going, bro.
So it's just puzzled right now.
I don't think he's going back though, because more of anything, his relationship with Dad Duke. Their relationship has always been rocky. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why he went back to Cleveland because his conscience weighed on him. He had obligation to the city of Cleveland. To bring him a chip.
To prove him right that he was
going to do that. Bought him a chip.
He did it.
And then tried multiple times with everything in him to bring another one. Right. Now, if it don't subside, you can definitely kiss his, you know.
I agree.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, actually, what he got right now, man, as a basketball player, man, I know how it is sometimes or whatever, playing with some terrible talent. Yeah, you got to go, man. I mean, like I said, unless Dan Gill was making a conscious effort to get you some superstars or some decent role players that you know that's going to bring you every night or whatever, you got to leave that team. That team ain't it or whatever. And I don't want him to do it like he did before, which, you know, he went to Miami. It was a middle-of-the-road team when he left. It wasn't like he went to a 73-9 team.
No, he didn't do that.
So, I mean, I think he should leave, though. I feel like if he goes to Houston, take him off the ball a little bit or whatever.
Do you think he'll be willing to play off the ball? Because every team that LeBron played with, he's always on the ball. One thing I learned about LeBron is, like, he's the type of guy. So if LeBron plays.
If he go to Houston, it'll let him work on his I think it'll put him in the post. And he off the ball. I think it'll extend his game. Probably.
But I think he'll be a lot better.
He's smart enough. One thing about LeBron game. He studied. He's a student of the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay? He studied the greats. He knows this. He know all the greats had to alter their game. Yeah. Had to change their game to extend their career.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jordan did it. Kobe did it. Kareem did it. Kareem had to go to the Skyhook. He had to. That extended his career in 5 years. That one play. Because he can't take the rigors of the game in the paint no more. You want to continue your career. Kobe became basically a point guard in his career. He stayed off the ball. He started coming off screens now. He started catching and shooting more. He started relying on his jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
That extends your game. Tim Duncan basically said, I'm going to come a center now. I'm going to stay out here, do a lot of pick and pop, a lot of shooting. I'm going to take it easy, baby. Because you know, if you want to extend your career and really make that run at 4, 5, 6 rings, you have to change the way you play.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan had to become basically a wing guy. He had to come off and really come off screens and catch and shoot more. He couldn't get up in the paint and mix it up. He had to rely off his fadeaway, his off back shoulder fadeaway shot. He had to rely off different moves. And he had to rely off his techniques because you're not as you got to make this thing stretch.
Right.
You're not 23 no more. You're not 26 no more. You're not 25 no more.
That's a lucky number. 23.
Different. Yeah, well, absolutely big time lucky number. Yeah, we can talk about that later. I need to get some of that. But anyway, you know, he knows this because he studies this. He studies the game. He don't just play basketball. He's part of basketball. He wants to continue that legacy. He wants to match these rates. He knows what he needs to do, in my opinion.
Speaking of contract years, let's talk about everybody's favorite player right now. They went from LeBron to when he was in OKC to he was a great guy to now he's in Golden State. Everybody wants to quote unquote jump on the bandwagon. Let's talk about the Slim Reaper himself, Kevin Durant, aka KD. So do you
know hater, man?
Do you feel like KD?
He about to be a hater.
I agree. So do you feel like KD is gonna when his contract comes up? I don't know if it's this year or next year. Do you feel like KD's going to stay in OKC or this is just something for just time being?
He going to stay.
You think they're going to pay him a lot of money? Because you know he's gave Klay Thompson an extension. So you're trying to basically keep Klay Thompson intact.
I hate to say it, but they got this kind of culture where cats just really buy in and they really love to be there. Because honestly, if you think about it, it's all about basketball in Golden State. It's all about basketball. And that's right down KD alley. It's all about basketball. And I see him taking a couple dollars pay cut just to stay there so he can win and win chips. That's just me and my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Look how he came up. He didn't have much. He's never been big on
C Pleasant.
He never been Southeast. Big on all that. Spread out Southeast DC. He never had a lot. He never really been by all of that.
Right.
He spent days and nights in the gym with his friends out partner.
Right. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
All he
o'clock
care
in the
about is basketball. And he's finally winning a franchise. That's all they care about. So,
right.
I don't really see him leaving.
What's your mind on it?
I don't think he's gonna leave because I mean,
why would you?
If he left OKC, I felt like he had opportunity there, and he left that opportunity.
I believe you.
Man, that's whack.
If he would have left, he would have won a chip by then, in my opinion. I believe they would have took him down. I believe they would have took Doug down, and they would have won.
They could have beat that Warriors team. Because my man just came back from 3-1 against them same guys.
I kind of believe that in a way. Because think about it.
Why you beat them in the West Conference Finals? You had
PG, KD, and Russ sounds really good, don't it?
Yeah.
In opposed to Melo.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. That's just my opinion right there. Right. Like it makes sense. I don't see how it can happen, but it makes sense.
Whatever. And it kills me. This is why I don't like Kevin Durant. I didn't like the move he did.
But I ain't mad at him for me.
As a basketball player, I hate the move. But I really hate it because he goes out there and he makes shots and he's talking big boy junk or whatever.
Showing his finger
like,
don't think about it,
bro. To a team that was 73-9.
Okay, but think about it. Think about it. That year, when they won it all, they took his hand.
That's like
he took them to the playoffs.
That's like you playing with the all-time.
That's hard to do, bro.
With the all-time
that's
team
hard to do.
In 2K, and I got the Sacramento King.
You said the all-time team in 2K?
I get what you're saying, bro.
I'm gonna go just
a little bit deeper though. You got these guys, they star, they don't want rings, and you joining them. Like they don't even really need you, and you know that. But you turn that into y'all follow me and I'm gonna take y'all to the promised land. And he did that when they won it all.
Jeez.
Y'all saw that. Did y'all not see it? He won final MVP. He won final MVP. They weren't gonna win that series against LeBron without him doing that.
Because you have to guard Steph Curry, you have to guard Klay Thompson. They ain't no help. That's just like if I say, okay, I like Jonte Sorrell, I like Primetime John. Let me go over here to Tarver High and let me get with them. I can get all the shots I want and then y'all guys can play off of me.
But it ain't that easy to say you can get all the shots you want. The shots are already divvied out before you get there.
You have to guard Jonte Sorrell. You have to guard Ryan Jones. You have to guard TJ Harrell. So, John Mayer said, oh, yeah, I'm coming from, I just averaged 20 points a game at Northern.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going down the two-way. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I get this is easy. Yeah, that's what KD did. You had,
he made
you
had a successful himself.
Team. You had everything that you needed.
A lot of players in the past came and joined successful teams, but they couldn't mesh. It was harder for them to find their way. You know, KD came in and created his own way. You see, he kind of let them handle their business through the regular season, and then when it really mattered, that's when he stood ahead of everybody and said, I'm going to take y'all there. I admire that. That's all I'm saying. I admire that.
Because we got to guard Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
That's true indeed. You got
to
make
it
happen.
My state of mind when it comes to the raw mind sports, before we get to the next topic, is that West Conference Finals, Golden State has a system in place. I feel like KD's being there. He's getting double. He doesn't have to worry about double teams. He can get a lot of isolation. He can get a lot of shots. Yeah, he's a playmaker. We get things going on. He's the Conference Finals. It's going to be tough because, you know, you got LeBron playing against probably the best coach ever. And he's probably going to allow LeBron to get as many points and triple doubles as possible. But the question is, can he really win? Even if LeBron gets all that and his team doesn't, he disables the rest of the team to do what they got to do. NBA Rookie of Year, I feel like Donovan Mitchell should be the Rookie of the Year. But Jason Tatum has come along. The thing about Jason Tatum, he had a blessing in disguise because Gordon Hayward got hurt. If Gordon Hayward never got hurt, would he and Jaylen Brown be the same player?
That's all I was saying the other day.
Yeah.
You can't sit here and say that they're, I like Tatum and Gordon, they better, and Brown better than Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. Like, he got hurt, bro.
But y'all know game one, Jason Tatum started, right?
Right.
That's when Gordon Hayward started. And Kyrie.
Yeah, hands down.
He still had opportunity.
Coach of Year, it could go down to Quinn Snyder and Brad Stevens. I don't know which one of those.
Wayne
Casey would get it, but by the fact that he got fired, the NBA might not give it to him. The votes might not even come into play. And is LeBron leaving this year? That's going to be a tough topic. I know he's going to leave. The question is, where he's going to go? Where is he going to? I think wherever LeBron's go, it's not about more sort of money. It's about where he can win the championship at. If he can win a championship, wherever he's going to go, that's the team that's going to fit. He's looking at after the season, if he doesn't get to the finals or whatever, you know, then he's going to look at like, okay, what team is going to fit me and what team is going to help me get more championships. And the KD situation is a great situation. I don't know if he has as many endorsements as LeBron. No. He's a great player, but think about money-wise and financially, I don't know if he has as many endorsements. But I think KD is just like My man E was saying he's a pure basketball player. LeBron looks at everything from business perspective, plus at the same time, his caliber of play. So his caliber of play helps the fact that it allows him to do what he wants to do when he wants. But if it's in basketball or outside of basketball, I don't know if KD can even fit the mold of the outside world of LeBron. He's an outstanding player. He's a great player. He's a great guy. But the thing about it, the endorsements is where LeBron makes most of his money. So on to the next topic now, because we in a chance for, we're going to boxing. LL Cool J, Mama said knock you out. I'm going to knock you out. We're going to talk about Deontay Wilder versus Anthony Joshua. Who you guys got? The next big things in boxing.
Yeah, that's a big ticket fight. Yeah,
yeah, that's probably the biggest mega fight ever.
Yeah, that's a big one. Two skilled punchers. You know, I don't know. This is a toss up, man. You know, Anthony Joshua is a little more savvy, a little more technical.
Definitely more.
DeAndre Wilder is a little bit more of a puncher, a little bit more of a fighter. Two different styles. They're gonna clash. You know, it's just heavyweight deserves a fight like this.
Yeah.
Right?
Heavyweight. Yeah.
Yeah, because we ain't seen nothing like this since, you know, probably, shit, I mean, 25, 30 years, man, when Holyfield was boxing. So, you know, when Leonard Lewis was still fighting. So, you know, this is great. This is good for boxing. They've been, like I said, been relying heavily on welterweight and middleweight fights for so long that it's great that these two young black heavyweights get to duke it out, get to get a good payday, both of them. It's just so many levels, so much good about this fight. I can't wait to see it, basically.
Your mind, man.
I like Deontay Wilder, man. He's tearing people up every fight.
Every fight.
Like I said, the last fight he fought, I thought he was on the ropes. He came through at the end. But I think he's not as disciplined as Anthony Joshua.
Right.
I think that's the only thing that's going to get Anthony Joshua over the top. With Deontay Wilder, is like his name, he's kind of wild with his punches.
Right.
So I think
get you in trouble with a guy like Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua. He's very technically savvy.
Yeah,
right.
He is right. Like,
you know,
his last fight was kind of tough too. So Anthony Joshua, I mean, it's gonna be a good one.
It's gonna be great.
They're coming off.
Yes, sir.
They're coming off too. Kind of, you know, not it won't dominate performances.
It wasn't dominating like performances. They, yes, sir. It was heavy lifting for both of them.
Both of them. So, I mean, it'd be a good fight, but I think Joshua or whatever. I want Wilder to win, but I just think Joshua is more disciplined. I think that's what's going to take him. They're going to fight multiple times.
I think,
like Tarver Jones.
The way it seems, I think Wilder is going to start out hot, win a couple early rounds, but it's going to smooth out where he's going to have to box Anthony Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case and it goes to cards, you know, he's going to be in trouble if he ever had to go to decision, in my opinion. He's going to, you know, I expect him to go for that knockout, and it can get him in trouble. Basically, I see him might win a couple early rounds, but Anthony Joshua smoothing the fight out, you know, boxing him, making him box him. If that's the case, and it goes to the scorecards, you know, down the stretch, Anthony Joshua going to win the rounds, man. Because, you know, like he said, Anthony Joshua, a much more disciplined fighter. He's a great counterpuncher, which is not good for soldiers.
It's not good for you to
take a bad angle. He's very smart to come with the cross or come with the hook or whatever to, you know, especially the left hook, to kind of neutralize you. So if Deontay Wilder is coming out there swinging heavy, trying to be that puncher, all off balance, he's going to be in trouble, man. Bottom line.
That's interesting talks. My thing on Raw Mind Sports, thank you people for enjoying this show. I put it on live on Mello Arrington's page and Eric Jamal Whitehead's page. And of course I'm up there as well, Primetime Jones. I feel like if you got any topics, anything you want to debate, I'm pretty sure you probably said a few things up there or not. I want your intake. I want to see what you can bring. I want people on the show, as many as possible. I want to see if you can be able to debate these two. You could be able to beat TJ Harrell or anybody else. I always like to pique the interest.
Still waiting.
Say it again.
Still waiting, Jante.
Jante Sherrod. You hear that, Jante, don't you?
Still waiting.
You said it last show, you wanted him. Now he wants you. What James Harden do? Like, Mm-hmm. He do that. No. So hot stir, baby. Mm-hmm. And we ain't talking about no Bruce Stew either. You know, so with that being said, anybody else that wants to join, if you got an intake on this and you feel like you know something better, well, if it's football, basketball, if it's baseball, I don't know what you know. You know, let me know.
We'll get on the show. Cowboys either, because I won't let y'all know something.
Oh, yeah, and I know the Jerry Jones situation. We'll save that for another show. With that being said, appreciate Mello Arrington.
Hey,
and Jamal. I appreciate it.
I praise the bait.
That's all for tonight, folks.
I enjoyed it.
We'll see you on the next episode.
Peace.
Nate Dogg. Hope you're ready for the next episode.
Hey.
Rest in peace, y'all. Did start the move.